listening to the Hometown Losers, the St. Louis Sports Podcast, with Josh, Adam, and OJ.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back here to the Hometown Losers Podcast. This is session number 38. I'm getting way ahead of myself. Session 28. I'm joined with my co-hosts here, Adam and OJ. Gentlemen, we doing okay?
Doing good, man. Apparently time's flying by for you.
That is true. It's kind of crazy that this is already session number 28. You know what I mean? It's been over half a year that we've been doing this.
This is true.
Right?
Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, yeah. Damn near half the season's gone for the Cards. Half the season's gone for St. Louis City SC. I mean, the year's about halfway over now. So, yeah, it's... time's flying, man.
Yeah. So soon enough, we'll have to change the podcast season number from season one to season two when we hit year number two.
Wow.
That'll be crazy.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, doing good here though.
That's good. Well, you kind of already mentioned it, Adam, about the Cardinals here. Let's just give the listeners an update. So the Cardinals sit at 31-44 this season. They're 9 games back in the Central. They're 10 and a half games out of that last wild card spot in the NL. But since our last session, they're 4-2 and they have series wins over the Nationals, which was kind of expected, but also the Mets, which was huge, right?
Yeah.
You know, I get it. The Mets are also kind of on the Mets are on a really nasty slide right now, but you know, we'll take the wins when we can get it at this point in time. But you know, it seems that we got a little bit of our returning ways so far. OJ, you know, what's your take on this little since the last session? So this like little 6-game pocket we're looking at. Well, what's going right for us?
So I mean, I think it's hard to draw too much conclusions from it just because it's been over the really struggling Mets, who also have not had a good season, and then the Washington Nationals, who are obviously terrible.
Yeah, fair point.
Like, not even trying to win.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Who has a worse record than us, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly. So,
But that being said, we lost the Nationals. Actually, I don't know if we lost or got swept to them earlier this season. So, I mean, signs of improvement.
That does sound probably about right. Yeah, I mean, well, we have to drop lots of games to bad teams, so it is a sign of improvement, 100%. But no, I mean, it's nice to see some of the outfielders coming back. That helps a lot. I think one of the keys to the terrible season so far has been just the poor defense, especially in the outfield. And I don't think they did enough to mitigate some of that. Like, I really think they went... I'm just going to harp on something that I just thought of because you asked me about this. But I was reading an Athletic article, and that is a recent one, very recently. And we're interviewing Marmol, and he said he specifically was calling out the poor outfield defense and all that. And it's like, then why were you – he actually had a statement like, you know, with our pitching staff, we need to have guys that – behind him that can play good defense and stuff. It's like, why are you trotting Burleson out in left field?
Long?
Well, like, he's been known to do that, you know. Honestly, he's done that by the past where he wouldn't, you know, put, you know, grill the our pitching staff at all, but throw it all on our defense, you know. While I think that they share part of the blame, but it's like, dude, it's kind of what I brought up.
They didn't think going – it almost is like they didn't think going into the year that outfield defense would be that important.
That big of a deal.
To realize that. Like, that's so disappointing to me because I thought they actually did value that based on the way they're playing under Schilt like the last several years, you know. I thought they were doing that intentionally. But it sounds like maybe that was more of a Schilt thing than anyone else in the organization. So, you know.
Well, and it's interesting. I brought it up last week when we were talking about Marble and his job security specifically. But like, it's interesting because he has such a like tight knit, like inner circle of like players that he trusts, especially around the bullpen and stuff like that. But if you're in, and so like Alec Burleson is definitely like in that circle, right? So you see him push out more and more, even though he's really not doing all that much. And this is, it was the same thing for some of our bullpen arms and stuff like that. That's why he stuck with Jordan Hicks for so long. Now, obviously, Jordan Hicks has kind of like worked out some of the kinks and has looked so much better than he did at the beginning of the year. So that one's kind of a wash, but at some point he needed that break, but he wasn't getting that break. And Marmol should have pulled that trigger like 10, 15 games before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's definitely a stretch. Yeah. There's definitely a stretch where you could like pretty much predict that Hicks was going to just blow up. And clearly he needed to work on something, you know, and they just kept trying him out there. Yeah, but now, I mean, obviously, then from what I understand, he's kind of started throwing the four seamer a lot more, and it's given hitters something else to look at, and it looks better with his slider and all that. So they made some like really meaningful changes that seem to have helped out a lot. But yeah, they definitely dropped games early where he probably should have not used him in high leverage situations.
Yeah, and I think that, again, it just comes down to, like, if you're on his good side, you're going to get playing time, and it shouldn't be that way as a professional manager. You know, it should be that, you know, your performance or in the results are going to get you more playing time rather than you could be, you know, I look at it, not to name names or anything like that, but I look at it specifically, OJ, with us in our high school, our soccer, or oh my God, our high school football team. And you know what I'm getting at, where you had the coach's favorites that aren't even the best players in those positions, but they're the ones getting the playing time because of the coach favorites, right? And it's like, so you're going to continue to trot out the same people that have over and over and over again shown that they can't get this done. Why not give somebody else a chance, especially somebody that has, you know, proven themselves in one way or the other? I don't know. And to me, like, I think that has kind of gone away. Like, he's gone away from it a little bit, but he's still like, we're still seeing signs of it on that favoritism. You know, Adam, I'm going to throw it to you here. Do you think that there is definitely like he's shown that favoritism? Like, am I crazy on his take, or like what's your opinions on that?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some levels of it for sure, you know, and it goes back to, I think, you know, without harping too much on the whole Marmol thing, you know, it's just part of it is being, you know, younger manager and everything else, and, you know, not showing that experience and the maturity that, you know, a manager that's been around for a while would typically show. But, you know, I mean, I've seen where blame is shifted as well, you know, like I was mentioning earlier, from time to time, where, you know, he'll protect some of those guys out there and throw others under the bus, where I don't necessarily agree with that, you know, so especially publicly. So, but, you know,
yeah,
I think overall, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, I'm not sure if the Burleson thing is Marmol, honestly. Like, that seems like the front office has kind of just been tooting his horn since last season, you know? So I think he's kind of like their guy, and they really want him to be successful, which is why they just would not stop giving him chances, even though he was never hit anything like actual production. I mean, and then he obviously just was not very good in the field either. He was just a terrible, just killed you, you know?
Yeah. And it's not like DeLuzio or whatever his name was last season, where he was more of the defense specialist and at least had speed. You know, he wasn't hitting the ball, but he could at least cover some ground, and he wasn't a terrific outfielder, clearly. But he was, you know, it had the speed to be able to make up for mistakes. And obviously you can use him as a like Sotoguchi role that we did in, you know, the 04 and 06 seasons and stuff like that. More of that speedy pinch runner or whatever have you, you know what I mean? I don't feel that Burleson brings any of that. I mean, he's got like that plus power, but we haven't seen it at all. So it's just hard, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I really don't see him being on the roster much longer, honestly, but.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's probably a team somewhere that could use a guy like him, but it's not us.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's interesting that we talked about that with, you know, 4-2. And it's really hard to like stay optimistic with this team because, you know, they went on a little bit of a stretch and you're like, OK, cool. The Cardinals finally found their way out. And then they just followed that up with, you know, a really bad month and stuff like that. And you kind of feel like this is very much like the Blues where, you know, obviously. Okay, they get off to a really crappy start. Okay, they found themselves, and now they're really crappy. Okay, everybody's traded. Oh, hey, look, they started winning games again, and they're still crappy. You know, it's just like this roller coaster of up and down. You know,
Adam, yeah. Well, the ups are not the ups like we're used to seeing. You know, whereas we typically have seen in the past, and you know how baseball can kind of play it out. Unfortunately, we're not riding those highs for very long, and we're back to the same old, you know, same playing like we you know, like we were, you know, week prior. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, go ahead, Adam, and I'm going to actually come back to you here on this. I mean, do you think that that the Cardinals have finally made a turn, or do you think that it's just that same old stuff that we're going to be seeing here?
It's going to take it's going to take more than just a couple series to see this, because we've seen this song and dance before, you know, where they've gone, they've performed well for, you know, two or three series, and then they're back to the same old ways, you know? So we're going to have to see a good solid month of baseball to say, okay, I think we might be turning the curve, you know, turning the, you know, around the corner, so to speak, a little bit. But right now, it's way too early to tell, especially when we're playing teams that already suck anyway. You know what I mean? So it's like we should be expected to be winning against teams that have a worse record than us. And obviously, like we're talking about, the Mets have been having a crappy year too. So, you know, I think once we start winning against teams that are in first, second place, then we might be able to talk. But, you know, it'll be interesting this weekend too, obviously playing the Cubs, because, you know, they're a third place team right now. They're not too far out, obviously, of the division, you know, chase or whatever. If we can actually go in there and sweep them, hell, that'd be great to see. But we got to start winning against teams though that have a halfway decent record first.
Yeah, Adam, I think you bring up some good points, especially when we have Cincinnati streaking like they are. I mean, they're at like, what, 11 or 12 game winning streaks right now? Like, I mean, it's kind of crazy, but, you know, they're pushing Milwaukee, who we thought was probably going to run away with this division, and all of a sudden they're kind of pushing them to the brink, because obviously Cincinnati is in lead right now. So, you know, and that's kind of scary. When Cincinnati, who coming into the season, we didn't think was going to be really all that much, all of a sudden they're winning a lot of games. It's
They've won. I was gonna say they're on a hell of a streak right now. So, I know their last 10 games they've won all 10. So I don't even know what their winning streak is right now. But
so I think 10. They've won. Yeah, I think they've won their last 12 games or something like that. I mean, I'll double check. But while I'm checking that, OJ, so like I kind of want to. I know you said you agreed with Adam here. But is there any more insight that you have around this? I mean, do you think that this is kind of like a, all right, let's slow a roll a little bit on thinking that, you know, this Cardinal team's going to be able to come back? Or like, what do you need to see for the Cardinals, for you to claim that, you know, hey, okay, they definitely have made a turn here and we can look forward towards the rest of the season in a positive light?
If they could get back to 500, that's really, like, honestly, I don't, it probably wouldn't take that much, but they need to rattle off a lot of wins in a row and show that they really figured something out, because they did get, I mean, I know it was raining the entire game and everything, but they did get shut out by the Nationals also in the last game of that series. Yeah, I mean, they won the first two, but then they just were completely baffled by some mediocre guy. It's kind of like, I don't know. The offense has been a little feast or famine for my taste. I mean, I guess that's how a lot of teams can be. But I don't know. It seems like really extreme with this team.
Cardinals. Yeah, we're so used to consistent and steady play from the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And playing the Cardinal way. And I just, except for that one year that, and this was, you know, a couple, like 3 or 4 years ago, maybe even more than that. Remember when we were living and dying by home runs? Like, we couldn't play small ball at all. We still made the playoffs, but we were just.
Yeah. I haven't looked at the numbers, but this year, but that's kind of the feeling I get this year too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause we sure in the hell can't. I was going to say we're keeping men stranded constantly. So
our wrist braiding is the worst in baseball right now. In wrist, obviously, runners in scoring position is the worst in baseball, and it's not even close. I mean, we're off by like 30 points, which is pretty ridiculously crazy. Low.
It's really bad.
There has to be some reason behind it. You know, it can't just be completely random. Like, it's too extreme.
Yeah. I like the logical thinking on that, though, of, you know, like, hey, we like there's got to be something to this. And I'm kind of with you guys on this. Right. I'm hopeful that maybe they figured something out. But at the same time, you know, if this was earlier in the season and they had just made it like, you know, a turn, it's like, okay, cool. Like maybe they figured something out. Or if this was like, they didn't have that like earlier win streak in them in like earlier in the season where we're like, okay, that's where they turned. Maybe it's like, okay, maybe they figured something out. I don't know. It's just like, it's really hard to get excited about the Cardinals, period. I mean, when you're 13 games under 500, I mean, yeah, you're not going to win anything, let alone the division. So,
right.
I don't know. It's really tough to get to. And, you know, it's like, you know, so the question really comes down to, can they get in the playoffs, right? You know, if they continue to play the way that they have been, you know, for, you know, winning four in out of six is 66% win percentage, right? 67. That would get us to 89 wins. Or no, I'm sorry. It would get us to 91 wins, which is good enough probably for a playoff spot. Because I've talked about it several times on different sessions that 87 kind of is that magic number for the past couple of seasons, right? For 87 wins to either win the division or get into the playoffs. But can you keep that up? Because you're pretty much having to keep that up for the rest of the season. In fact, to get to that 87, we have to win 64% of our remaining games. So pretty much going, you know, winning 2 for 3.
We got to win every series, Dave.
Series.
Yeah, we got to win every series.
Pretty damn much.
Yeah.
Actually,
with this team.
At this point, actually, a lot of places are, what I keep hearing is that Milwaukee's projected to win the division with like 82 wins. So we probably really only have to get to like 83.
Oh, hell, the way the Reds are going, they might.
Well, 11
in a row right now for the Reds, anyway.
Yeah, 11 in a row for the Reds. But OJ, I think that projection is on when they'll win it, not what they will end up with in winning it. Because you got to think that means that they are one game over 500.
That is what it is. Yeah, no, that's what it is. Really? They're projecting Milwaukee to win only one game over 500. Wow. That's how bad the division is.
I mean, I know it's a shitty division, but I definitely think that Milwaukee is better than 500. Although that being said, they're only two games above 500.
Well, I was going to say they're not much. Yeah.
Their strength, their pitching staff has just been absolutely destroyed by injuries this year. So like they just have nothing to hang their hats on right now.
God, dude, let's talk about that for just a second, right? So Milwaukee, who we knew was going to be coming into this, was going to be the biggest threat to the Cardinals, right? Since the Cardinals aren't doing crap, you know, Milwaukee was going to walk away with it. They're 38-36. Let's forget about Cincinnati and their 11-game winning streak right now that puts them five games over 500, right? Let's forget about them for a second and just focus on Milwaukee. You're still 7.5 games behind a team that's 38-36. Are you kidding me?
It's pretty atrocious. Absolutely. I've never seen anything like this. It's unbelievable. Especially for a team that was expected to be good. It's just, it's bizarre.
Better than last year. Like, that's what a lot of people had us at least, you know, winning the wild card series or whatever and getting into the divisional playoffs and losing. But, you know, hey, that's a lot of people have it.
Well,
I mean,
the Central sucks for both leagues, man. It just does.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Sucks, yeah. The American Central has been really bad for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, every once in a while, they'll have, like, one team that will rise out of that, you know, whether it's the Guardians or the White Sox, because really it's only been those two, and sometimes the Twins. But those are, like, the only teams that, like, rise out of it, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, they're good. The rest of the division is just absolute crap, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And most of the time, it's funny how, like, I've always talked about the American Central, and, like, they're always fighting over who's going to, like, win the division at 500. Well, here we are with the National League Central, and it might be the exact same
way. It's the same thing, yeah. It's a damn near – it's pretty much a carbon copy, so.
Mm-hmm. It's bad, too. I mean, for us as Cardinal fans, we're so freaking used to winning and being more consistent than this. And if we're not winning, we have Mark McGwire, you know, distracting us with a home run streak and crap, you know? So I don't know.
I remember some bad years in the 90s, but
it
wasn't like this bad. I don't remember them playing this bad ever.
Yeah.
And in the 90s, you didn't expect to be good either. In the 90s, the early before La Russa, or like right after he got here, still, you know, it's like people still didn't expect us to do shit. It was like, this team, people, like most people think it probably has way too much talent to have the record it's got.
Oh, I mean, yeah, for sure, dude. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, I think that if you look at like the who we got, right? I'm looking at Nolan Arenado. I think that Nolan Arenado can win you 31 games by himself, just as like a defensive offensive combo, right? And obviously my numbers are probably going to be way off to like his actual WAR and whatever, right? But I'm just saying, like you feel that with a tandem between Goldschmidt and Arenado, especially in the middle of the lineup, the way that they can play defense and the way they can take over games sometimes, that they those two themselves can win you 30 games, you know, in close games and stuff. But here we are, 31 total wins on the season. That's, you know, not great. Hopefully they can turn it up, and we know they can, but it's just going to be really difficult at this juncture to see that happening. You know what I mean?
I'm looking back in history, and, man, we haven't had this kind of record or percentage right now, because obviously we're 413. The last time we were even remotely close to that was in the early 90s, like around 1990. We finished the season 70-92 with a 432 record.
Jeez.
So it's,
well, guys, it looks like we're going to witness a historic season just now in the way that we thought.
Yeah, I mean, if we continue the way we're going, I can't even see the last time that we were below this, actually, with this record, 413. I mean, that's if we finish the season with it. I don't even see a season that that's that low. Holy crap. That's really bad.
Especially going into this with as high of hope as we have. Now, granted, at least we're not like in the Mets situation where we're spending, you know, a record amount and not winning games. Mm-hmm. At least we're not at that point, because obviously heads would be rolling then. But still, it's very disappointing.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're used to the Cardinals consistently getting 80-plus wins, you know, every year. I mean, we haven't seen that, and, you know, we haven't seen that other than COVID, you know, in 2020 or whatever. We're used to always seeing that, you know. So for us to even struggle to get to 80, that's going to be wild.
Yeah, I mean, you might have it pulled up. When's the last time that we finished under 500 in the season? Since you
let me look.
I'm gonna guess 07.
07 is it. Yep.
Yeah,
we were 78-84, 481 percentage. Yeah. 07 was the last time.
What about before then?
World Series.
Before, 06 was World Series when we had the famous 83 wins and we went on to the World Series.
Yeah.
Before 07, below 500 was 99. 75 and 86. Okay, with 466. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is 413 this year. That's pretty
bad. Before that was 97 with a 451 average, you know.
Yeah, but and again, in 97 and 99 you had, you know, Mark McGwire doing what he's doing, and also the emergence of Pujols too, if anybody remembers.
Yeah,
because in 99 that's when he came up.
Yeah,
so
yeah, but yeah, 98
was 2001.
Yeah, magical year. So
yeah, but this is when he was starting to come up through the ranks is what I meant. Because if I remember correctly, like we signed him or whatever, and he went to the single A and then like immediately jumped up to like double A or triple A or something like that in 99, if I remember correctly. Could be wrong, but that's what I thought it was.
I have his rookie card like right here. But yeah, I think it was 2001 when he started.
That's 2001 is when he
started in the MLB in the major. Because I remember that his first like at bat with a home run and Bush.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. God, I miss having a player like that on the team.
Right?
You ain't lying. I remember I miss having three of those players on the team when you had Scott Rowland, Jimmy Edmonds, and Albert Pujols. Like, come on. Those were some good days.
Those were some good days for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Well, let's get over here and talk about the London series that's coming up here. So first and foremost, just talk a little bit about it. So if anybody does not know, we have a London series. So it's two games against the Cubs in London. It is two home games for the Cardinals, which I don't necessarily like or anything like that. But You know, let's just get your general opinions on this first before we go into whether this is good or not for baseball. Adam, we're going to start with you. You know, what's your thoughts on the London games? I mean, do you like these games? Do you not like them? What's your thought process?
I mean, they're not. I mean, I know that they're trying to get baseball to take off more into Europe, and obviously with the World Baseball Classic and all that, you know, hoping that that would get, you know, the Europe especially interested in to baseball. And London being a pivotal city, you know, potentially for it, I just don't really see it happening. I mean, because baseball just hasn't showed up in Europe the way that all the other major league sports have. You know what I mean? They just haven't. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, but I don't think that there's going to be all that much interest in it over there. You know, I think I looked at the poll recently and there's like, you know, the 7% of people that live in England that are slightly interested in baseball, you know what I mean? So it's not like you're going to get this big, you know, interest in it for sure. But I think they look at it
it's actually really,
you know, it's an American sport, you know, and they're just like, you know, and I mean, not to stereotype, but they're just like, it's for Americans, you know?
No, for sure. And it's really funny too, because I remember when they announced this, and I saw this on a Reddit forum or whatever. There were some people that were just talking about how baseball is more boring than soccer. So why the hell would we be interested,
why would they be interested in it
as English people? And it's like, you know what? As much as you want to try to argue that point, you really can't, because there's a reason why we're trying to make all these changes to the game. It's
sure,
you know, it's boring for us, especially in St. Louis. You know, baseball isn't boring because we understand the sport and we understand the strategy behind it, and we enjoy
and
the
pageantry
that goes around to it.
Are often, you know, like we were just talking about, we often have a pretty good winning. We have a good team, generally speaking. The fact that we have a winning team, typically we're in the playoffs, so playoff sports in general is always exciting, you know what I mean,
regardless of where you make it.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So it's like everybody shows up playoffs, you know, in the playoffs for whatever sport you're playing, typically, you know what I mean. So
Now look at South Florida from the NBA and the NHL. You know, they neither team won, you know, but they were both A seeds that made it all the way to the finals, and the city was completely hopping.
Absolutely. They were going nuts for it. So that definitely, you know, whenever you have that kind of, you know, we're used to it kind of mentality and we grew up with it. Sure. It's part of our culture, you know, but I just don't see it really taking off there. I mean, you know, I might turn it on just to watch, you know, one of the games tomorrow, pretend, or on Saturday, I should say, but I'm not going to get up at 9 a.m. on a Sunday and watch a baseball game. Sorry, I'm just not going
to
do it.
Like, and I struggle to do that to watch the Chiefs.
Nice.
Yeah.
You just made
really?
Me
oh, Jay, go on.
Decide to wake up early on a Sunday.
And watch a baseball game at 9 in the morning.
Yeah, so.
I mean, at least OJ, I'm on Saturdays at noon, so, you know, I can deal with that, you know.
I don't know. I feel like just it being in the morning, it'll just be nicer. I don't know. Maybe I'll get up really early and mow my lawn super early in the morning while it's still cool out.
There you go. You can listen to the Cards game while you're doing it.
Actually, to OJ's point, honestly, this does sound pretty nice. Get up real early to cut your grass and then, like, just sit down with a cold beer to watch the game. You know what I mean? And then, like, by the time noon runs around, the game's already over, so that you can figure out lunch or take a nap, whatever the hell you want to do.
There you go. There you go. All right.
Might have to join you on that. That actually doesn't sound bad now.
Yeah.
I say that, but I'm not going to get up that early. I already know myself too much.
Yeah. I mean, other than, like, you know, folks in Chicago or St. Louis, at least in the U.S., I don't think there'll really be all that many people tuning into it. You know, that's just my opinion.
Yes, no. I mean, I think people show up just like they do for the NFL.
Sure.
Just like for the NFL, I don't think there's any real interest in it in Europe anywhere. So,
no, that's not even close to being true. The Europeans. Yeah, like Europeans really love football. American football, they absolutely love it. They really do. It's because it's the violence of the sport and everything too. I mean, you should have saw, like, this past, they had two games overseas, if I remember correctly, this year. They had one in London, like they do, and I think they had one in Germany, and both games were complete sellouts. And, like, again, there's been lots of talks that the NFL is going to expand, like, the actual NFL is going to expand, have an expansion team over in London, which is stupid as hell, because how the hell are you going to work on that with all this, you know, time dragon stuff like that? There's no possible way you can have a team overseas, because I mean, even today with today's state,
yeah, like one
today's
team technology, like, I'm sorry, but yeah, what
it's what it's still a 9-hour flight, you know, even if like, yeah, you know, go like from, you know, New York or whatever, put them on like a coastal team, it doesn't matter, like there's just not, it's not possible. Mexico is more feasible for the NFL at this point, but regardless,
and that's why I'm kind of surprised that you don't really see more baseball being played potentially like in Mexico or some of these, you know, Latin American countries,
Puerto Rico, like Colombia.
Why would you not host it there more so than you would over in London? You know, I understand like their interest is to push into Europe, but the fact is you're going to get probably more viewership, you know, viewers in Latin America than you are in freaking London, you know?
People that live in London are way more affluent than people that live in Latin America, like, you know, as a rule. I mean, there's more money to be made in London.
That was my thing. Yeah. Yeah. It's the financial side of
things and all that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More sponsorship ships. There's going to be a building that's ready for baseball, like, because you can always put it into a football stadium, you know what I mean, like you can put it into a stadium. They have the avenues, they have the money to be able to do there, and again, sponsors too. So that's a very big one that OG just pointed out, is getting these big sponsors to sponsor that game, because obviously it's just where the money's at. As much as you want to go to Colombia and, you know, Mexico and some of these, you know, not as well off countries, it's just for the fact that the people probably wouldn't be able to afford you know, the ticket price, you know what I mean? Like, especially for some of the more expensive tickets. So then you have a worry that you're not going to sell out and it's going to look like a failure. It's getting security is another thing too. You know, not to say that, you know, the countries that, you know, I just mentioned are, you know, bad countries or anything like that. It's just how it is. You know, when you go across, across borders, that's what players are going to have on their mind is security.
Especially it's the same thing. The cartels like kind of run stuff right now.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the same thing that would happen in when they had the Olympics, the Summer Olympics in Brazil, right? You know, when they were in Rio, because that's where they had to have their stuff positioned at. There was so much security for the U.S. or whatever. That's why they eventually moved out of the Olympian Village or whatever, and moved onto the boat. You know, it means they'd be literally away from the streets and, you know, have their own stuff literally on a cruiser off the shore for security purposes. And that still two people got robbed. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. Now, that being said, too, like, Rio is a very, very like dangerous city, period. And like even people from Brazil or Rio will tell you that it's a dangerous city. But as you pointed out, OJ, like you can never because it's not the political climates that we're used to dealing with. You know what I mean? So again, you know, cartels does whatever they want to do down there, and it just gets to be a problem. So I think that is something that can get overshadowed as well.
Yeah, but so obviously those are the places that like it more. But you know,
yeah,
I will say though that people have always packed the NFL games in Europe or in London and stuff specifically, because I remember when the crappy ass Rams would go and play. But like, and they've always, since then, I mean, they've been talking about having a team over there and everything. I just think it's BS. I think the NFL is trying to force a narrative, whereas I don't think there's actually much real interest in the sport in Europe. So they like soccer and that's pretty much, they're happy with that. Otherwise, then they got their rugby and their cricket, you know, if they want baseball and football, like, you know, they've grown up with that stuff.
Yeah. And that's a good point. Go on, Adam. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, imagine like a cricket team from England shows up here in St. Louis, you know, or just say random city or whatever. Do you really think there's going to be a whole lot of interest? I mean, maybe there's a few of us that would, but I don't know like how much interest there would be for a lot of people in the U.S., honestly.
I would tell you, and I'm in the minority. I actually really enjoy
it. Well, I know you do, but you're one of only a few that actually gets it.
I know, And like, I'm one of the probably. I would love to take an actual, like, what is it? Oh my God, voting or whatever I'm talking about. I would love to take stock to see if there are, like, what is the percentage of Americans that can name the three major types of cricket that are played? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I would love to know, because like it, people understand, like, there's, and that's why I think there's a lot of confusion to it. It's the same thing with rugby too, because there's like three different major types of way to play rugby. So you think you know how to play rugby, except they might be playing it a different way. But cricket is like, it's very hard to understand first and foremost, because you try to equate it to baseball always, because it's what it looks like. You obviously try to translate whatever, you know, it is to you for, yeah, exactly. For you to make it make sense of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that totally makes sense. But, you know, you have, you know, the first two certain runs. How do you get those runs and stuff like that? I'm not going to talk about, because that is there. But, you know, they can play 10 frames. They can play up to a run. They can play up to a certain, you know, limit and stuff like that. They can play different types of rules as well. Where bowlers have to either go further out of the box, they can't run in, they have to go from the edge of the box to the front of the box. There's just a lot of different rules to it. But that's a very good point that you brought up, OJ, was for the fact that, like, again, they have cricket. So, like, really, baseball is kind of their cricket in a sense, you know, and it's so huge and everybody plays it. Where here, you know, there's nobody playing cricket, except, you know, most of the kids are playing baseball and stuff like that. So that's a very good point.
Exactly.
So let me... let me get to this question here then, and I kind of want your general takes on it as well. Is, and I'll start with you, OJ. You know, is this good for baseball? Is the London series and international play in general good for the MLB and good for baseball? What's your general thoughts on it?
Well, to me, I wish they would expand in places more susceptible to it, because I think that, you know, despite what the airs they like to put on, I think Europeans tend to be pretty insular as well at times. And so, you know, I don't really think there's a huge chance of any of this happening. This is all stuff that would have an effect like maybe a couple generations in the future. You know, that's the idea behind this kind of stuff, as far as I can tell. So I'd rather see them go places where there already is like leagues and stuff like that, you know, try and pump up more interest from Mexico and all that, because they're still a pretty soccer oriented country from what I understand. But I mean, they were huge at the World Baseball Classic. I mean, they were loving it. They were going crazy watching Team Mexico. So they like, I think you'd have more immediate success expanding down in South America, like you were saying, Josh, you know, the South and Central America. So that's what I wish they were doing. And I don't know that we'll see the anything pay off in Europe for quite some time. And also,
yeah,
they should have taken one home game from each team, because
I agree. I
the totally Cardinals are a historic freaking franchise, dude. I know it's St. Louis and Chicago, but I mean, go to hell. I mean, that's same. The Cardinals are our thing. Like, it's you can't move it. I don't care. But it's almost like MLB just looks at us as like a small market now since Manfred took over or something. I don't know.
They definitely don't seem to really like even for the MLB advertisements and stuff like that, they definitely don't show the Cardinals as much as they used to. You used to at least to see one guy from there. And I remember it was, I watched an MLB commercial and it was just for MLB TV, right? It took them no joke, like 20 seconds to finally get to Paul Goldschmidt. I'm like, that's your fucking reigning MVP for the NL. And you're just now showing him. I'm like, exactly. Come on, dude. Like, you showed it. They showed Shohei three fucking times. And I get it. You know, that's a dude's a transcendent player because, I mean, he's taking, you know, Japan by storm and stuff like that. Obviously, a two-way talent. And there's just a lot to talk about. I totally understand that. But come on, you can't do Paul Goldschmidt dirty like that. You can't do the Cardinals dirty like that. Like, there's so many people in the Midwest that are Cardinals fans. You know, you go to Iowa, I'm going to Indianapolis. So I'm literally going to the training camp for the Indianapolis Colts. And we stopped off at some it was like a Dick's Sporting Goods or something like that. And to get a jersey, because my dad was like, oh, crap, we don't have jerseys. I'm like, that'd probably be smart if we're trying to get autographs. So we stopped in there to grab some stuff. And they had Cardinals shit in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, Chicago's closer than St. Louis. You know what I mean? You have Cincinnati right down the street, too. Like, I don't understand it, but they had Cardinals crap, and I couldn't get over that. And they're like, oh, no, we're diehard Cardinals fans out here. No, like, it's just crazy, dude. And even, like, even in Milwaukee, there's a lot of St. Louis fans. It's just crazy.
Hell, I remember traveling out to Arizona a few years ago for work, and I remember we were hanging out at Buffalo Wild Wings or what, and anyway, watching the Cards game, and next thing you know, like all these people that were just happened to, you know, they all were Cards fans or they've watched Cardinals all their lives or whatever. And it was so weird, like all these people that you just ran into that were really into Cardinals baseball that were all in Arizona. And it's just like all at random, you know what I mean? It was just very strange, but it's like, you always seem to run into fans all over the country.
And I will say that it's kind of crazy for St. Louis period. So St. Louis, obviously a city that's pretty much in the middle of this country, but you go pretty much anywhere and there's going to be somebody from St. Louis there. I remember there was when I went to the Air Force Museum, literally right away at the very beginning, when I'm looking at the Wright flyer, right? There's a dude that had a Blues jacket on, and I go from St. Louis, and he goes, born and raised. I'm like, we're from St. Louis too. And he's just like, that's crazy. You know, it's stuff like that. It's like when we were in Atlanta and the Blues won, and it happened to be that server was from St. Louis. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. It's just absolutely nuts when it comes to take a lot of that. But anyways, getting back to
give us some damn respect.
Damn right.
So I agree with you, OJ, that's what I thought it was going to be. I thought since it's only a 2-game series, I thought it was going to be a split. You know what I mean? Like, okay, cool. Instead of having a 4-game series in Chicago and a 4-game series in St. Louis, you scratch one of those games off and you just do a home and away in London. That way, also, too, you get to see the Cardinals and the Cubs wear their actual iconic jerseys. You know, like, because if you're, like, say you were in Europe, say you were a Cubs fan or whatever, for whatever reason, right? You know, you attach them when they won the Super Bowl, or when they won the World Series or whatever. And it's like, cool, you're still going to get to see them. That's awesome. But you get to see them in their grays. It would be pretty cool to see them in their Wrigley stripes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, to me, I think that's what it would look at. It would make more sense. It would be even. The players would like it and stuff like that too, I think. I don't know. It's just, to me, my take on this is, is it good for baseball? I really struggle with this, and I have to say yes and no. It's good for baseball because of, obviously, the publicity that can come around it, especially in Europe and stuff like that. But for every other reason, it's bad for baseball. It's bad for baseball because after this London game series, we get one day off to recover, and then we're pretty much right back at it, if I remember correctly from the schedule, right? Could be wrong on that, but I thought that's what it was.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it's going to – unfortunately, we're going to – you know, that's going to play, you know, we're going to fall into that for sure.
We have 2 days off, because obviously we're not playing today. We're not playing Friday. So we play so we don't play Monday, but we play Tuesday. Luckily for us –
because then that's going to be the Astros series.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just – dude, it's just nuts. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. It's I don't like that, because the downtime. It's not like the NFL where you go overseas to play real early on Sunday, but then you have all of Monday, all of Tuesday to recover from jet lag and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Baseball. I don't know. Maybe these guys can do it. I don't know. There's just a lot of things that I don't know about that, but I don't necessarily think it's a good thing for baseball. You know, I like the publicity side of it, but that's about it, you know. So, Adam, what's your take on it?
I mean, it's not going to be anything great. I mean, it'll be interesting, but it won't be like, you know, I don't expect it to make any big waves. Any impact? You know,
yeah.
Not really. Not any lasting impact.
That's kind of how I feel about it as well at this point.
I don't think there's going to be like, oh, wow, that was so great. And now we.
Yeah, that was transcended. Baseball.
Yeah. I mean, considering there's a lot of tickets still for sale and they're going for dirt cheap, you know, I'm finding a lot of tickets in here for sale from $12 to $18.
Well, I will tell you, I mean, hopefully those tickets do sell out and stuff like that. And maybe that they will eventually expand on from London, and they'll go to Mexico and London or something like that. We'll have to.
Well, they have done the series before, like in Mexico. What was it? The Padres and the Giants or somebody play down there, I think. Yeah. One of those Mexico series or whatever. And obviously, even we even had those Japan series and stuff too, because obviously they have a huge love for baseball over there.
Yeah, and that's the other thing though that comes around this is you got to be very careful because you don't want to get to a place where you already have a real like established league, and like so that way they might not have that draw. I mean, Japan they loved it obviously because they get to see you know a lot of MLB talent stuff and sure. they have that. But that could be another reason why they're not going to Colombia or Puerto Rico because they're very proud of the leagues that they have down there. You know what I mean? Yeah, so who knows? Could be.
Well, this is obviously their way to try to get into Europe, but you know.
Yeah.
It'd be tough.
But anyway. Well, guys, let's talk here, especially because we definitely need to change topics. Let's talk about our St. Louis City here at this point in time. So SCLSC, just an update for everybody. We're 9-2-7, so those two are ties that we get 1 point out if you get 3 points for a win. So we're 9-2-7. We are sitting at 29 points. We're second in the West behind LAFC, and we're doing pretty well on that aspect. However, injuries have really started to pile up here for City, and it's not looking necessarily the greatest. In that aspect of things, I'm just going to kind of go through them real quick and then we'll you know, have our discussion for it. But so Klaus is still injured. He's injured with that strained right quad. He's been out for 2 months and he's expected to miss another 4 weeks. You know, he left with five. Go on, OJ.
I was just saying, damn.
Yeah, we just got some bad news. Yeah, we got some bad news recently because we were hoping that he's going to come back, but they just announced on Monday that they're going to be out for extended period.
Same time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he left the season after playing 9 games, 5 goals and 4 assists. Joachim Nilsson is still out with his knee problem as well. Hasn't played a season yet. We finally have a timetable for him. They say 2 to 4 weeks. So we'll see. The biggest one besides Klaus is Edward Lowen is out with a quatrain as well. He's been out for a week. He's expected to miss 4 to 6 more weeks.
Yep.
His 5 goals and 6 assists in the 16 games he has played. He also has not been subbed out any of those games. So he's played the full 90 in all 16 games. That's a lot of minutes to replace. And then John Bell is also on the report with a foot injury. He hasn't played for us. He played 1 game for us and was subbed in for like a minute. But he's been out most of the season. He's expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks as well. So, guys, before we, you know, get on to, you know, looking forward to City's schedule and potentially making the playoffs and stuff like that here, you know, how does specifically losing Klaus and Lowen, you know, how does that really affect our team going forward? Adam, I'll start with you. You know, what's your thought process?
That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough with Klaus and Lowen. And the fact that they're not going to be able to potentially make a return until like the middle of August now. I mean, granted, I still think that we can stay pretty solid. Overall, we've seen even through the injuries in the past, we've been able to still play pretty well. I think we're going to start seeing a little bit. We're not going to stay in first place like we have been for a while. But I still think that we will still be in contention now. Without getting into that conversation about the playoffs or whatever, but we're gonna definitely start seeing the effects with both those guys out, and especially for this long of a period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only thing that I will say to that, and I'm very thankful, is that there is that giant gap essentially, where it's like a month off because they're playing the MLS Cup. It's not the MLS
That's
Cup.
True.
I forget what it's actually.
I know what you mean.
Called so. Because we play against Miami on July 15th, and then we pick back up in August 20th. So luckily for us, you know, out of the games that we'll be missing without them in, at least for how it's projected right now, it is looking that maybe 5 games.
Gotcha.
A game against San Jose.
Then maybe we'll get lucky there.
Colorado.
That's where we won't be really playing too much in July. It looks like only 1, 2, 3, 4 games in July.
Yeah. So... you know, we'll see. So, you know, it's can we, you know, as you said, can we continue to hold on first and foremost? And the other thing too about it is, will they come back early? You know, so they, because you look at it now and they're saying Klaus, excuse me, expected to miss 4 more weeks. Well, that was earlier this week. So that means that he potentially could come back for the last game before that break against Miami. And no, for anybody listening, yes, that's a home game against Miami, but Lionel Messi will not be playing in that game. So you can stop trying to buy your tickets at $500 per ticket, because he's not playing in that game, and he won't be there. So it's crazy, man. But anyways, just putting that out there. But yeah, so I'm optimistic, because like we've already won so many games early in the season that maybe we can, you know, starve off a little bit here. But
and also looking at the schedule in July, for the most part, it looks like it's not going to be terrible. I mean, other than the LAFC game, it's not going to be terrible. You know, like we're playing Inter Miami, we're playing Toronto, Colorado. They're not great teams, you know, overall, at least when it comes to their, you know, their performance this year, I should say. San Jose's been decent, you know.
Yeah, we got that on the docket to talk about it next. Like, you know, the scheduling coming forward and stuff like that. You know, what was that look like for us? OJ, before we get to that point, I kind of wanted to get your opinion on it as well. How do you think these injuries have been, you know, laying on STLFC? Do you think that we can get through it? I mean, what's your thought process on it?
I think it's going to be tough, because I'm actually pretty impressed how they managed without Klaus for so long, because he's clearly their most talented goal scorer. But beyond that, he also, you know, I see him get a lot of headers and stuff in our box on crosses and everything. Yeah. Like, so having that tall guy, like, he's a big dude that plays hard and it has talent. Like, he's a great all-around player. So he's a pretty tough loss, but we at least had Leuven. Now that Leuven's down, I don't think they really have anybody that's a real offensive threat anymore. I mean, Celio Pompeu has some talent, but I don't think he's got the finishing touch. I think it's going to be a pretty tough stretch while Leuven's out. So hopefully they can manage to pull a lot of draws out there.
Yeah, I mean, we still have Gooch. You know, he's a decent player for sure, and he's scored. I think he's actually on a 3-game goal streak, if I remember correctly.
Joe Keeney. Yeah.
Yeah,
Joe Keeney. He had a sick goal. Two or three games ago. He had a super sick goal.
Yeah. So, but to your point, we're just losing weapons left and right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's definitely one of those that it's difficult to. You know, it's just difficult for sure to see us really. I mean, we'll be fine, but I don't know enough about this team to sit there and say, okay, this is where they can generate their offense from. You know what I mean? But to your point, it is kind of impressive when you look at it. So you lose Klaus, which as you said, has definitely been our like most talented goal scorer, right? And you lose him early on in the season. Since he has left, right? So since he has been injured, that is. One loss, one win, a draw. That's second loss, two wins, three wins, four wins, three losses. So I mean, like, it's about 500 that we've been playing. Actually, we've been slightly above that. You know, so we've been able to generate some stuff. But it's going to be a question: is, you know, can this team continue to stay? Can this team stay healthy too? You know, luckily we are only missing our top two guys. But if we start losing, you know, defenders and stuff like that, it's going to be really hard, because obviously keeping your lines in that structure is something that's that is not easy and not easily. It's just not easy. I mean, I'm trying to think of like a poetic way to say it, but it's just not easy to overcome. You know what I mean? So looking at that and talking about the playoffs, you know, we're looking at 47 points for the target for the playoffs. That's based on last 3 years of what's needed. We only need 18 points. So that means that we can go 6-0-10. So we can literally play, you know, go fucking 400 for the rest of the season. We just need to get some wins under our belt. Now, that can be obviously later on. That could be, you know, just some draws and stuff like that as well to get those points. But we just obviously need to gain some points. But to your point, Adam, we have some very easy games that are coming up, right? So I'm just going to kind of blow through these, and we'll talk about, you know, what we think are going to be wins and stuff like that. You know, you got San Jose. We beat them earlier, 3-0. They're 7-6-6 so far in this season. Then we have Colorado that we drew them 1-1.
we should be able to win over Colorado now.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. And they're 2-7-9, not a great team. We do have LAFC twice, so a home and away. Obviously, we haven't played them yet. They're 9-5-3. Even if you count those as two losses, you know what I mean? I still think that even just from this, I think that you can definitely beat San Jose because you beat them 3-0 earlier, although they've gotten better. Colorado, I definitely think you can win. That should be 6 points right there. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then you minus the two out from LAFC.
And by the time, I was going to say, and with the LAFC games as well, we should be able to have Klaus and Lewin back as well, because that's not with, the, you know, I'm not talking about the game in July, but whenever we face them again in September, you know.
Yeah, and I'm just saying because they're a good team that, you know, even if you lose both those games, it's not like a huge deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like,
overall, I think that we, you know, can definitely secure several wins here. We're still a great team, you know, overall.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm more pessimistic just because, I mean, you can draw, so I don't like drawing. And it's hard to, like, actually win games when you can't score, you know? Whereas, like, a lot of American sports, you're forced to have a winner. So if you just if you just play like ridiculous defense, eventually you'll have to win by default sometimes, you know. This is kind of a different story. It's kind of like our upside in a lot of games is going to be a draw, which to me, that's not fun. So.
Yeah, for sure. And to your point, when you look at, you know, the game on July 12th at LAFC, that's probably a game that you said, as you said, like the upside is going to be a draw. You know, LAFC is a very good team. You know, we should be able to beat teams like Toronto, which we played a week before, actually 4 days before. We should be able to beat them. We haven't played them. They're 3-10-6. You know, yeah, that's the week after Colorado. Then Miami, who's 5-0-12. We haven't played them. We should be able to beat them. But to your point, it's like the other teams, right? Like Austin's probably going to be a little bit of a stiffer competition. You know, because they're 6-4-8, which is not the greatest record. We beat them 3-2, but, you know, who knows? We'll face Dallas again. We lost 2-0 to them last time. They're 7-5-7.
KC, which should be an easy one.
Yeah, we faced Sporting KC twice.
That should both be wins.
4-0.
Sporting KC sucks, so.
Yeah. But when you look at this, there's not a lot of teams on this that really scare me, just from, again, like, it's just MLS, and we've already proven ourselves to be able to beat some of these teams. But by the way, Adam, we went to the Houston game, and Houston in the West is like number 3 right now. Do you know that? Because they definitely didn't play that way.
They did not play that at all. They did not. Apparently they're fourth. Yeah. So they were. Like, they didn't have that kind of record. I guess they've been improving, because before, when I remember looking at them earlier this season, they were in like last place.
Yeah,
I'm not even joking. Like, so I think they've been improving. So, I guess they've been improving some.
Yeah, but again, like, for me, like, out of these, you know, we have what, 16 games remaining. So all you have to do is actually hold on. Yeah, 16 games, and you have to win less than half of them. So again, I think that it's going to be good for us to be able to get to the playoffs. I think that we will eventually, you know, get to the playoffs for sure. It's just how many. What's our positioning going to be at? I think that's going to be the biggest question coming into it.
Interesting enough, just side tidbit here, Josh. So after that game where we beat them, you know, 3-0, the game that we went to on the 3rd of June, Houston's won every game since then. And in fact, beat LAFC twice.
Wow.
Yeah. 4-0-1 and 1-0 on another back-to-back matches there. One on the 10th and once on the 14th. One was, you know, away and home. Yeah.
That's surprise.
Yeah. So apparently Houston's on the rise, I guess.
Well, sure. Hopefully that, you know, doesn't continue on, you know, but who knows?
Well, I mean, we did pretty well against them. So, because they certainly weren't playing very well whenever we faced them, that's for sure.
Right. Well, guys, you know, I think that we all are kind of in agreement that, you know, the SDLSC is most likely going to be heading towards the playoffs. We just don't know the positioning and stuff like that. But maybe next session we'll have our soccer expert Danny back on to kind of talk about it and be able to talk about his feelings so far as we approach that halfway point of the season.
For sure. Sounds good.
Well, Well, let's get to some call news here in the Battle Hawks. So the draft, the rookie draft has came and went. And I have our results for our 10 picks that we have. So our first overall pick that we had for the rookie draft was Nico Bolden. He played a defensive back at Kent State. He had 236 total tackles, 3 pass defends, 1 sack, 5 forced fumbles, and 2 interceptions over a 5-year career. Again, this isn't the NFL, so you're not going to be looking at great stats overall, obviously. James Bostic is we drafted him as a running back out of Ohio. However, he played wide receiver, not running back in Ohio, which is kind of odd, but got 50 receptions, 765 yards, 1 touchdown to 4 years as a receiver there. Johnny Buchanan was our third pick, linebacker out of Delaware, 133 total tackles, 1 sack, a forced fumble, forced fumble recovery in 4 years. Darren Shafton was a wide receiver we picked out of Incarnate Word, which is a D3 school. He had 155 receptions, 2,387 yards, 33 touchdowns in 3 years, which is pretty good, but it's for a D3 school. So we'll have to see how that translates to XFL, which probably shouldn't be that big of a deal. We have Jacob Gall, who was the offensive lineman at Baylor. He played center there. He doesn't have any stats since he's an offensive lineman that I could find. However, this is for a center. He's 6'2", 299. Don't you guys think that's a little small for an offensive lineman?
What was it again? 6'2" and what?
6'2", 299.
Oh, that's a big boy, Josh. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean,
300.
I'm not talking about his weight. I'm talking about, like, I mean, he's 6'2".
Is he short? Like,
he's short.
Yeah. For now, listen, it might be good for the
interior, right? Is he a guard? Did you say he's a guard?
He played center at Baylor, so I don't know what center. Okay. They'll have him playing.
I'd say it's probably a little different for interior. I mean, you don't need to be as tall for interior because everything's more compressed there anyway. It's really more important to have lateral movement so you can pull effectively and all that.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I just don't know where they're going to, you know, they'll be placing them or whatever, but.
Yeah, like if he was a tackle, that's a different story because then you need that reach so that you can get your arms extended and pass block effectively.
Exactly. That's a good point. All right, so that was our fifth pick. Our sixth pick is Kenmore Gamble, tight end out of Central Florida. He had 55 receptions, 750 yards, 8 touchdowns in 3 years. Matthew Jester was a defensive lineman out of Princeton. However, he's been signed by the Rams, so we lose out on that pick. Kevon Latulis, who's actually a running back from my alma mater, Missouri State. That's right. He was He had 144 carries, 1,029 yards, 6 touchdowns in 3 years. And then this one is it's Adrian with a J in front of a Jajarian, or, you know, Adrian, whatever. I don't know how to pronounce it, but Taylor, go on.
Jadrian,
I guess.
Jadrian
Taylor.
Jadrian. Yeah, I think it's Jadrian.
Jadrian Taylor, a defensive lineman out of UTEP. He had 81 total tackles, 16 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, a fumble recovery, 4 pass defenses in 3 years. And then our last pick was Anthony Witherstone, a defensive back out of Merrimack, and he has been signed by the Kansas City Chiefs. So out of the 10 that we had, we are keeping 8 of them currently. There was also some undrafted players that we picked up or whatever that I unfortunately couldn't get to. But those were our draft picks. So after all that being said and done, you know, Adam, we're going to start with you. What do you think the Battlehawks still need to look for?
I was going to say we have a huge need for wide receivers, if I recall, because like we basically don't have anyone left because they all got drafted. So I know that was a huge pickup that we need. And I don't really see a whole lot of that going on here. So.
Yeah, I mean, because like you got
decent, I guess, but you know that there's we don't really see any much for our wide receivers. That's for damn sure. So
yeah, and that's kind of where I had it too. Is our number one need was wide receiver. We still need we need a defensive lineman. We need a couple. So,
we do.
You know, maybe You know, because it's unfortunate because, like, the one guy, well, we actually signed two defensive linemen, but the one guy was that we signed that was pretty, apparently is supposed to be decent, was Matthew Jester out of Princeton. But,
and then you said he went to the Rams. I wasn't aware of that. Well, of course.
And now,
and that's what really sucks about this whole thing is, like, I know. Now we get, after this draft, then we have to, and that's just to say, that's one dude. What about all the others potentially? They have until what, December or something, or what? I don't even remember.
Yeah, it's literally
until the end of the year, basically. Yeah, basically they have the rest of the year. They could get drafted, and then we just miss out on that.
Yeah.
So that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that is definitely frustrating. You know, we talked about this as well, Adam, you know, on air and off the air as well. And just like, it's going to be really frustrating having to cheer for a completely different team every single year, being season ticket holders. It's still going to be fun, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, the one thing I will say is, so far, AJ McCarron has not, hasn't deviated from the XFL. There's a lot of talks that he was going to, and it sounds like he is staying put for right now. So hopefully, like, I mean,
he took a giant pay cut to join the XFL, and I think that he'll be sticking around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, he was offered $4 million, and he ended up getting like what, 60,000 or whatever. So, you know, the dude something clearly like that, like, he just wants to play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Good boy, Rolly.
No. So, go on, OJ.
Well, I was gonna say enjoy it the way people enjoy watching like minor league teams play. You know, just go out there, root for the team. It's for your city, so root for the laundry, and then, you know, if the people that you're cheering for do well, then that probably means good things for their careers and stuff. You can maybe look to them on the next level at some point.
Yeah, but see, that being said, you know, it really depends. So, like, for example, when I'm rooting for a minor league team, the one experience that I had for rooting for a minor league team when I was going to school at Missouri State, and obviously it's in Springfield. Well, the Springfield Cardinals played literally right next door. And so, you know, that was Double A. And every once in a while, that, you know, like when Mac Harpner and Yadier Molina came up for like an assignment or because they're coming off injury and stuff, got to see them for a couple games. That was pretty awesome. But most of the time, you don't know who they are. You go because they're like, obviously, it's a farm team. It's cheap, you know, tickets, obviously, being a student or whatever. I think we got it.
Like, you're not going to be able to watch a baseball game anywhere else. Otherwise, you got to go all the way to St. Louis. So, you know.
But it was easy to root for those guys because of the fact that, you know, if they do move on, they're going to Memphis or they're going to the Cardinals, right? Here, it's not the way. So, like, for example, like New England Patriots,
they're out of the league.
I can't stand the New England Patriots. You know, all of a sudden, AJ McCarron, who I'm rooting for now, gets, you know, picked up by, you know, to be a backup or a starter or whatever for the New England Patriots. It's like, okay, well, there goes all that fandom that I had for that player. You know what I mean? So the affinity for it, whatever teams is around is
And let's face it, most of these guys are going to get picked up are probably going to be sitting on the bench anyway. You know what I mean? So you probably won't be really seeing many of these guys actively playing.
I mean, honestly, the issue is you're still just – you're 100% viewing it in relation to the major league team. You don't have to do that at all. You can just enjoy the football. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But and that's what we, that's why we got season tickets.
It's a good, cheap thing, you know? Yeah. It's a fun crap to do.
But it's very hard to, like, so next year, I don't, like, so if we kept the same team, say they had like 3-year contracts or whatever, they can't go to the NFL. I'd feel very good about our chances going to the playoffs. But coming up, I have no idea. It's starting over fresh every single year. And it's very hard to know if you're going to be that interested or that invested into a team. Now, yeah, luckily, could, you know, our
we could be like Orlando and like win like two games, you know.
True.
Luckily, our season tickets aren't all that expensive, right?
Thank God.
But
yeah.
But if they were, so like say next year they start raising up the price and all of a sudden it's doubled. Now I really have to make a conscious effort to be like, do I really want to continue this or not? And I don't know what the team's going to be. That's the fucking problem with that. If you want to have season tickets, you have to have the season tickets well beforehand because they do sell out. And, you know, so it's like if you decide, okay, you know what, I am in, it might be too late. So you have to decide early in the season. And then, you know, the worst case, obviously, is you sign up and then sell the tickets off or whatever if you don't want to go. But regardless, like, it's just really hard, you know, the way that it's set up to maintain that affinity for the team over a long period of time.
Yeah.
That's all I was getting out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. I get you.
Well, guys, think it's time to head to our sign off here. And you know, we'll see how the Battle Hawks, you know, be able to fill in some of the gaps, especially now that they get to expand from like 40 players to, you know, 72 or 90 players or whatever that's on the roster. So let's head to our sign off here. Adam, why don't you tell the good listeners here what our socials are?
Yep. So hit us up on facebook.com/thehometownlosers. Once again, that's LOUSERS. Give us a like there. Or check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/hometownlosers. Like us, share us, communicate with us. We'd love to hear from you.
Please. Yep. Yeah, we definitely love hearing from our listeners as well. It brings up a lot of, you know, debates off air, as well as we can have those debates on air, if you have any comments to drop for us. OJ, what's your game of the week for us?
Well, Adam convinced me it's the Cardinals game on Sunday. Cardinals Cubs.
Cardinals Cubs at 9 in the morning.
Hell yeah.
There you go.
Get your cup of coffee. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. It's actually London. So get your cup of tea.
Get your tea.
With milk.
Get your tea.
No, come on.
I'm with you, man. Like, man, listen, being in London, it wasn't the greatest experience that I've ever had. You know, I definitely enjoyed some other cities out in Europe. And it wasn't that London was bad. But, you know, having that London tea was okay, but like putting milk into it, it's like, dude, no. I'm like,
well, nah, considering you're 100% Irish, I would expect you not to like anything as
well. Yeah, like, yeah, being as Irish as I am, man, just give me some damn whiskey. Like, I don't care. Yeah. If it's 8 o'clock in the morning, just give me some fucking whiskey.
Exactly. It's like, right. Damn British.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing, but yeah, British. Milk and honey and tea, man, no thanks. The honey I can deal with, but the milk and honey, no thanks, man. No thanks.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, I gotta do this sweet tea early.
Say if you're gonna drink anything, I guess if you're gonna drink anything alcohol wise in England or London, I guess you have to drink gin. I guess that's their go-to.
So you're drinking a lot of gin. If you're drinking beer, it's all room temperature and it's disgusting as shit. So don't even try.
If you're gonna drink any European beer, I'm drinking German beer.
I mean, like, you're drinking Heineken and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, those are the only. Beck's is not bad. You know, it depends on the area, because a lot of bars and stuff, they don't have coolers and stuff. So Beck's is really shitty room temp. Heineken's not good room temp. Not like, no beer is good room temp. Sorry, Brits, but that's just the case. But that being said, like, I much rather have a Heineken at room temp over Beck's. Beck's gets like really skunky really quick.
Beck's is a German beer anyway, so there you go.
That's what I'm saying, though. But
I gotcha. I was gonna say, I've never had room temperature Beck's. I've toured Beck's while I was there in Bremen, but I did not have room temperature Beck's.
Wouldn't recommend it. So, all right. Anyways, listeners and gentlemen, I appreciate everybody. It's always fun to get on here and talk some St. Louis sports with you guys. And definitely, hopefully the Cardinals can continue some winning ways and get us some more hyped up to talk about them. Cause this was like the last time in the past couple weeks that I'm like, oh, cool, we're on a streak. We actually have a positive note, ish. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things, but all right. Appreciate everybody. Hit us up next week here on the Hometown Losers podcast. Have a great night, everybody.
Hey, this is Josh. Thanks for checking out and tuning in to the Hometown Losers podcast. Check us out next week as we continue our silliness and talk a little bit about the St. Louis sports scene. Catch you next week.